open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a interesting edition of Bison Report Radio. What we're going to do for you here, we were planning on having Nate on, and we're going to do a preview for North Dakota State's round robin down in Sioux Falls, which we will be providing live coverage of both myself and the newest addition to the Bison Report team, former men's basketball team manager and all-around a good guy, Sam Westrick, is joining the squad at Bison Report, and he and I are going to provide live coverage from the round robin down in the Dakota Rivals deal at the Sanford Pentagon. But what we're doing right now is a mismatch of two appearances or two deals that we had, and the first thing that we're going to do is my StreamYard or my interview with Cole Payton. It's right now available on BRTV, but that one is obviously protected. It's VIP content. It's what we do for our wonderful VIP subscribers. And what we're going to do now, though, without the video, obviously, is the audio stream of that conversation. So right away, it's going to be myself and the QB from this class, Cole Payton. We get into a whole bunch of stuff. It was a phenomenal interview, not because of me, just because he's a big-time kid, and he's super mature for his age, and I'm excited about his time coming at North Dakota State. And then I'm just going to cut in my appearance, if you missed it, from the breakdown on Bison 1660. We get into NDSU's first four men's basketball games. We get into this signing day class a little bit, and I just think it's about the appropriate length for a podcast, and it's good Bison content, and so we're going to give this to you fine folks, and then Nate and I will get together hopefully tomorrow evening and really cut a good preview pod for the Dakota Rivals round robin down at the Pentagon. First, my interview with Cole Payton. What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of Bison Report TV. And I am here with kind of the man of the hour with signing day on its way, future North Dakota State quarterback, Cole Payton. Cole, how are you, man?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Describe kind of this season for you. I know a lot of the kids that I've talked to mentioned like not knowing if the next week was going to come and really kind of appreciating every opportunity. How many games did you guys get to play? Was there a playoff in Nebraska? Just kind of walk us through sort of your last year of high school football.
Yeah, we were so grateful to play. We ended up getting 12 games in with Omaha Public Schools. Those seven teams weren't allowed to play this year, so we lost two regular season games on our schedule. And no, I'm sorry, we lost three regular season games and we only got to replace two. So we had a bye week in there, and then playoff system was pretty normal. Everybody actually made the playoffs this year. But the top eight had a first round bye. And so, after that, I guess the playoff system was back to how it always has been. And like I said, just so thankful to get, even though we got one less game in, to get even some games in this year was a lot of fun, and so glad we could.
Yeah, so you guys had a great playoff run, did you not?
Right, we did. So our first playoff game was against Grand Island, and we had already beat them earlier in the season. And so I guess the whole year we were expecting everybody's best, but they came in with a chip on their shoulder, but we handled them pretty well. And then a Lincoln East team that threw the ball like crazy and kind of stayed in it with us for most of the game, but we kind of powered through. And then a really good Millard South team who I thought was the most physical team in the state. And that was a nail biter. That was the first time we were down all year in the semifinals. But when it came down to the wire, in that semifinal game, I think the difference is our guys, we were supporting each other, our coaches and teammates, the whole game. But when stuff went wrong on the Millard South sideline, they would jaw at each other. And I think that's a big difference and who came out on top. And then the Elkhorn South game was a blast, and that was the championship. So
I noticed on some of the highlights, some of your film, you playing a little bit of edge. Have you talked to Coach Buddha at all about rushing the passer when you're not playing quarterback?
I haven't talked to Coach Buddha yet about that, but yeah, this year I got to play a little more than just quarterback. And like I've said,
was it fun to hit people instead of having everyone hit you?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. But you mentioned that, and like during the week in practice, you know, they say, oh, it can't hit the quarterback, stuff like that. So all week I'm just ready to hit. And so Friday nights, that's why I don't like avoiding contact, because I play the game because I love hitting and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't like to avoid contact on Friday nights because they don't let our guys hit the quarterback in practice.
Have you seen the shot of Trey just absolutely running over the guy about 5 yards from the end zone and then trotting in?
Yeah.
Yep. Does that kind of physicality and that sort of, I mean, was that part of your NDSU related decision that you saw that the quarterback run game is there, the opportunity to carry the ball is there, and that you're not going to drop back 50 times and throw it around in the spread?
For sure. Yeah. That's a big part of why NDSU was intriguing, because they do a lot of what I've been doing the last couple of years at Westside. And that's what I was gonna say. I didn't start playing quarterback until middle school. I was always a running back, and so I've always loved running the ball.
So what was your conversation like with North Dakota State as far as kind of that lineage? Is that something that they brought up to you a lot? Obviously, you know, Trey being an early entry, he's going to be their third consecutive quarterback drafted. The guy before him was invited to Dolphins camp and made the team as an undrafted free agent right away. So you've had four straight NDSU QBs headed to the league. Was that kind of part of their pitch to you, or is that something you were already well aware of?
Definitely a little bit of both. You know, especially in recent years, with Easton Stick going up there, he's from Omaha, and just kind of the Bison success over the last few years. I think a lot of people NDSU's gotten a lot of people's attention, and that was definitely part of their pitch. And obviously the quarterback position has a great reputation up there, but even all the other positions, it shows that NDSU really produces.
Yeah, so I think some people are wondering, or I think maybe it's just because it's happened recently, late in the process, not even always necessarily late in the process, but NDSU, their recruiting has gone so well, and obviously their team building has gone so well, that sometimes, you know, a high major will come in, or a G5 school will come in and offer, you know, late in the process. Famously, Boise State came in the night before signing day and tried to get Trey Lance. Kansas State signed one of NDSU's quarterbacks the day before signing day. Have you received any high major interest lately? And what has made your commitment to North Dakota State so rock solid?
So during the season, I guess that isn't really late, but during the season, Iowa State reached out and I just said thanks, but no thanks. And then Saturday morning after the state championship game, my head coach at Westside texted me and said Scott Frost wanted to talk here in a few days. But again, I just said thanks, but no thanks. And the reason I'm so rock solid with NDSU is just the relationships I've already built with all the coaches. And there's a huge group chat we have of all the 2021 commits already. And so it already feels like a big family. And that was a big part for me, is the brotherhood part. And for looking at schools and NDSU, they just, throughout the recruiting process, before they even offered, I was just on the phone with them daily with all the different coaches and just super close with everybody. And that's a big reason why.
What's your academic plan? What do you want to do when you get to school?
Right now I'm thinking sports management. I want to stay around football.
Like the coach?
Yeah. So as of right now, that's what I'm thinking.
What about North Dakota State's offense do you think suits you well? Like what do you want to run? And did it ever bug you that, you know, this was not going to be an opportunity to throw it 55 times? Because I'm sure there were schools that probably showed you tape where it was like, hey, if you want to be the featured guy, you know, we'll let you run it 10 times and throw it 50 and you'll be the center of everything. And that's just not the way Bison football works.
Right. I've kind of talked to Coach Roll about this, and what he told Trey that at the quarterback position, especially with all the weapons around you at NDSU, your job is just to get the ball into the hands of your playmakers. And so I know I'm selfless, and I'll just do what they want me to do at the quarterback position. But I am excited to not only throw the ball, but be able to run the ball.
Who have you spoken to? We mentioned the NDSU quarterback lineage. Is it just Trey, or has Easton reached out? Have you had a chance maybe to talk to Carson? I mean, that's kind of a brotherhood in and of itself. You see, like when they go down to Frisco and all the alumni come and the quarterbacks all take a picture together and stuff like that. Being a quarterback at North Dakota State has been somewhat of a fraternity. Who has reached out? Who have you had a chance to talk to?
Yeah. So over this last summer, I got the chance to throw with Easton Stick actually when he was in town. And so I obviously met him and got to talk to him a little bit. And then when I was up in Fargo in February for my junior day, I got to watch some film and eat lunch with Trey Lance and kind of talk to him about everything. And so, yeah, we those two I'm pretty close with. And so, yeah.
Finally, and then I'll let you go. What are you working on? I mean, you mentioned you're going to play baseball again in the spring. You're one of the top left-handed pitchers in the state of Nebraska. What are you working on football-wise to get ready to kind of arrive in the fall and be ready to maybe contribute, or at least be ready to kind of start your journey as a Bison?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me, especially since I play baseball, is just my throwing mechanics. At the quarterback position. And so just kind of weekly, I've been working on that with a coach down here. And that's a big part. That's a big emphasis on my training right now. And just, I guess, staying in the weight room, especially in the winters like I have been the last couple of years. So definitely those two things.
All right, Cole. Thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Again, we want to thank Cole for taking time out of his strangely socially distanced schedule down at Westside High School in Omaha. And now I will replay my appearance on the breakdown on Bison 1660.
State University football and basketball with our friend Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report. He's with us on the Ide Bailey CPA and Business Advisors Hotline. Ross, you want to talk about dreaming, how you lived the dream today. You played golf on December 8th. Is that correct?
I did, yeah. We actually were completely unplanned. We were fortunate enough to get paired up with Todd Brown, Darren Mueller, and Matt Johnson. So nice. a little Bison get together out at the Leonard Country Club. It was phenomenal. Easily the latest I've ever played in North Dakota. If you look at Darren's Twitter account, you can see a trick shot that MJ tried of skipping the ball off the ice onto the green. That was pretty sick. So fun was had by all.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's definitely something new. I mean, it's not going to be too much longer that you might be able to get out there, but you have to play with the orange ball, hopefully. So let's talk about men's basketball first. North Dakota State, that's in season. They're 0-4 to start, but it feels like they're getting more competitive as the games go along. And these three games coming up later this week, Ross, are going to tell us a lot about where this team is relative to its Summit League competition because they're playing three Summit League opponents. But what have you seen that you've liked over the first four games from David Richmond's group? And what do you think they're missing that will take them from competitive in these games to being able to take a win here or there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is improvement, right? You look at, I think that team that played Kansas goes back and plays Nevada. They probably win that game. And I think that's to be expected, right? I've mentioned when Nate and I did the preview podcast, like the best version of this team is 100% going to be in March. You don't just take out Jared Samuelson and Tyson and Vinny and just roll the ball out and expect to be great, especially when a lot of your plans were based around another junior college point guard who broke his leg in the spring. So one of your better players is now making a position switch to point guard. There's a lot of moving pieces. And the club that I saw that honestly probably could have and should have beaten Kansas in their own house compared to the group that I watched play against Nevada and Nebraska just took massive steps forward. And I would argue it wasn't fluky because I thought they were a significantly better basketball team playing against Creighton as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing has been, like you said, the lack of a primary ball handler. You know, Donald Carter has not been on the floor for them yet, and we're still waiting to see when he makes his return. And there, it does seem like right now they're looking for the guy. You know, Vinny Shahid was the guy who had the ball in his hand. When the clock's winding down, you need somebody who can create a shot, get a bucket outside, inside. Didn't matter. You could put the ball in Vinny Shahid's hands and get points and win games. We've seen him do it so many times. Does it feel like the team is still searching for somebody to be the guy on the perimeter? And who do you think the best candidate for that is?
Yeah, for sure. I think that was evident with, you know, the Jayhawks of Kansas finishing that game on a 7-0 run and winning by four was the lack of North Dakota State, you know, being able to get those buckets late clock. I think Sam Griesel getting to the rim is a great option, but right now, until that jumper, until that pull-up is a little bit more consistent, you know, you're going to get guys that are just going to give him the respect and are going to sag off of him and not let him get to the rim. And you know, that's where the Vinny step back three was so huge. Was fine, we won't let you. He'd get to the rim. Okay, I'm going to hit a step back 23 footer in your face. That's not part of Sam's game right now. And so, you know, as far as guys that can create their own shot, I think the top guy in the roster right now is Jackson Notek. Right now, he's, you know, he wasn't a part of the crunch time minutes. And I'm not saying that he should have been, but if you're just asking like late clock, who do I think can make their own shot on the team? Right now, it's probably Jax because he's got mid-range game. He can't hit it from three, and as he showed in the Summit League tournament, he's not afraid to finish at the rim either.
What do you think of the play of Jarius Cook so far? He started all four games. He's playing big minutes. He and Notek were part of the same recruiting class. Cook redshirted last year. Notek did not. Was kind of a spark plug off the bench. Was Jackson a season ago, Mr. Instant Offense. Jarius Cook took that time for some development. Do you think that paid off? What do you like about his game so far?
I think he's a grinder, man, and I love it. I like the quick release of his jump shot. I think he's going to be, and for all these guys too, Keith, I hope everyone understands how tremendously the game is going to slow down for these kids. Like, Fred Hoiberg is a high-level coach who loves transfers. He's going to turn Nebraska basketball around quickly. And then you're talking about two of the top 11 teams in the country. Other than that, that North Dakota State has played. I understand they're 0-4, but they also missed out on an opportunity to probably start the season out 3-0 or 4-0 with their, you know, prior schedule. The game is going to slow down, and the athletes are going to get worse, and the frankly, they're going to not be as long once North Dakota State gets to this round robin in Sioux Falls. The game is going to slow down in a tremendous way for young guys like Jarius Cook, and certainly for young guys like Desmond McKinney, Bowden Skunberg, and Grant Nelson, who just gave Kansas the business. I couldn't be any more excited about Grant Nelson, I don't think.
I was going to ask you next, which of the three freshmen we've seen so far in Nelson, Des McKinney, and Bowden Skunberg have you liked the most?
I mean, Grant's just terrifying if you're the Summit League. You see him, you know, dribbling the ball between his legs and passing the way that he does. That nobody in the Summit League that's 6'10 has the abilities that he has. I mean, your 6'10 guys in the Summit League are you know, shot alterers and basically offensive rebound putback guys. No one in that league is out there handling the ball 22 feet away from the basket. And the kid hasn't grown into his body yet. He's going to get 4 years, maybe more, with Jason Miller, you know, whether or not the waiver of competition thing is. And I want to say nice things about McKinney and Skunberg as well. I mean, both of those kids played huge minutes against high, not just high major schools, top 12 schools in the country. And I thought, you know, neither of them looked scared. Desmond McKinney, you know, Richmond put the ball in his hands at the end of the game. He played the crunch time minutes against KU in a game they weren't just in, a game they were winning. I mean, that's the kind of trust that coach has in Desmond McKinney. I think this, especially with the, you know, the potential of the waiver competition and getting potentially, you know, Rocky back for another year, finally being able to redshirt truly Sam and Jax. I mean, the future's so bright for this group. And I know, like I said, I know they're 0-4, but my goodness, the future is bright for this group.
Talking with Ross Uggla on the Bison Report, and I agree with you. I think this is a really promising bunch. They added to it at the early signing period, and now they're going to put this group to the test. South Dakota State, South Dakota, a couple of teams they expect to compete with at the top of the Summit League this year, and then a UND team that is trying to find its way as well. Those three games set for Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Sioux Falls. Ross, what do you expect from this three-game set that North Dakota State's expecting to play down in South Dakota? How does this prepare them for Summit League play, and what should we expect to see, particularly in the matchup against South Dakota State?
Yeah, that's a big one. South Dakota State looked, from a Summit League perspective, about unbeatable when they just about took down West Virginia. They've looked exceptional, certainly, all season long. I think, you know, the games that they've lost showed maybe some of their weaker points, but boy, through about three games, they looked like the prohibitive favorite in the Summit League. I would argue, though, that North Dakota State had a more impressive showing against Kansas than South Dakota State did against West Virginia. However, let's be honest. I mean, South Dakota State's going to be probably, if not heavy favorites, certainly favorites in this game that opens this little round robin. But hey, what's more of a simulation for the Summit League tournament than three straight games in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? I mean, this is a preview of what goes on in Sioux Falls. Never, ever, ever doubt Sioux Falls' Dave Richmond, who is 12-3 in the Summit League tournament down there. Of course, this won't be at the Sanford Premier Center. This will be at the Pentagon. But I think it's going to be an interesting look. Obviously, South Dakota State brings everything back. You know, Their big two guys are certainly going to be Doug Wilson, the defending Summit League Player of the Year, and then Noah Friedel, who just became a gunner at the end of the year, certainly carried South Dakota State to that close loss at the Shack, and then also with their opening round loss in the Summit League tournament, he was easily their best guy with, I think, Doug Wilson still dealing with a stress fracture or something like that. But those two guys are excellent. South Dakota State, you know, bringing back the entirety of a squad that just about won the Summit League last year. They're very, very good. And so I've mentioned to a couple people when talking about this NDSU men's team that it'll be interesting to see them play a peer institution after playing, you know, Nevada. And people will say, oh, they're Mountain West or whatever. But Nevada was, with the Martin twins, just a top 10 program in the country. I mean, the Bison just played four high majors, if we're being honest with ourselves. And South Dakota State is, of course, a peer institution. Now, they're probably the best team in the league. But we're gonna find out soon where, you know, these guys at NDSU match up with the top of their level instead of playing up, which is frankly what they did for the first 4 weeks.
Before we transition to football, thoughts on North Dakota State women's basketball? Because you're one of the folks that, you know, you've been in this area for a really long time, and you have seen NDSU women's basketball at a little bit higher point than maybe what we've had over the last few years. And Jory Collins seems to have this group on track to meet the expectations of a community that's used to national championship contenders at the Division II level.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised, in the bleachers of the BSA, my man, going to national championship, you know, playoff games and watching ladies like Casey Morlock absolutely dominate. I'll never forget, you know, my mom yelling hands up because that was the only thing she understood about women's basketball was tell them hands up on defense. But I'll never forget those days. And I remember Amy Rooley and the absolute powerhouse that North Dakota State women's basketball was. And I got to tell you, man, I could not be more impressed with Jory Collins and what he's done, how quickly they've turned things around, but not just bringing in, you know, the transfer gunners, also developing the 4-year players like a Ryan Cobbins and working with, you know, people that stayed in guys, LaRova and obviously Emily Dietz. It's not just gunners. And that's why I really have been so impressed and enthused with what he's doing. This is a great women's basketball town. And frankly, this is a great women's basketball league. You see South Dakota State in the top 25. The potential for North Dakota State women's basketball, as weird as it sounds, is maybe even higher than that for a men's program that has been one of the better mid-major men's basketball programs over the last decade. Like the ceiling for Jory's group is unbelievable. And, you know, I'm a new dad of a baby girl. I've got three stepdaughters. I'm super excited to be able to, you know, certainly once this pandemic is over, I couldn't be more excited for the next however many years to bring them and show them women's basketball at the level that these girls are playing at. Because, man, watching those two games against Green Bay and really starting to understand the just exponential growth of this program in 2 years has been incredible.
It's definitely been fun to watch, and I agree with you. I think the upside for women's basketball in this region in general is probably a little bit higher than it is in men's basketball. I mean, you look at what South Dakota State have done. North Dakota State has tradition. North Dakota State has community support. Those are the really good thing, the really critical things you need to attract a good coach, and then you have the ability to keep a good coach here because this is a place that you can have success, and I think that makes this a really interesting spot and a spot that Jory Collins is certainly maximizing the potential of. We're talking with Ross Sugman of Bison Report. Ross, let's talk football. Recruiting, the early signing period is coming up, and North Dakota State just recently got a commit from Trey Lance's younger brother, Bryce, who is an electrifying receiver on tape. We've heard from him on Bison 1660 already. I know you've gotten the chance to talk with him. How important was Bryce Lance to the 2020 recruiting class framework for North Dakota State?
He was important. This is going to be a smaller class, Keith. You look at the uncertainty with COVID-19, which players might apply for a waiver. You know, or were they going to have scholarships available? Who's coming back? Who's not coming back? All of these questions lead to, plus it was going to be a small senior class anyway. All of these questions lead to needing to be extremely selective in this process. And frankly, if you look at, boy, their walk-on group, there's some scholarship-worthy kids, including the other receiver that committed, Elijah Green, where they're going to kind of have to hopefully wait for a scholarship that might come down the road. But they've had to be a little conservative. I mean, Matt Ants has mentioned, you know, wanting to keep a couple in his pocket because they've been so successful at getting high-level kids in the spring during the late signing period, that this was going to be a smaller class. And I like certainly the two local kids in Enoch and Barica from Cheyenne and from South, but they're going to be your smaller, you know, gadget type guys where you're either going to play them at running back or maybe they'll play a little slot. Neither of those guys, if they end up on the offensive side of the ball, are going to be, you know, an X receiver, are going to be your Vrah, going to be your Christian Watson. Bryce Lance is an X receiver. This guy is somebody you could potentially, you know, build the passing offense around. Of course, comes from a phenomenal family, works with a first-round pick as his older brother. But what impressed me the most about Bryce was just his insistence that this was not about Trey. And I, you know, have not covered him committing like he's Trey Lance's brother. I want to cover him like he's Bryce Lance because he doesn't expect anything handed to him, and he wants to write his own story. And even though he wants to write his own story, he still wants to do it at North Dakota State and feels, you know, that that's the best thing for him. And I think says, frankly, a lot about Matt Entz and this staff and the way that they handled and treated, you know, Trey's situation. Because obviously, if there were disagreements or this, that, and the other with Trey, you know, being an early entry, Bryce Lance wouldn't be a Bison. But I know that the family is thrilled with everything, and Bryce just has just unlimited potential as far as, yeah, I think he's grown 2 inches in the last couple of years and truly has the framework to be a featured number one receiver in this offense. And as I mentioned, when you're being very conservative with the number of scholarships that you're going to have out there and you're not going to have two or three shots at a wide receiver, it's important to get, you know, a stone cold stud from a phenomenal family like Bryce Lance.
Yeah, Cole Payton is one of the other big parts of this recruiting class as the quarterback. You know, the quarterback's always a critical part, and you like to have one in every recruiting class. I think some folks might have been concerned about some interest from some bigger programs potentially as he led his team to a state championship, got a lot more notoriety in the state. Some people were asking for Scott Frost to pursue Cole Payton and try to, you know, snatch him at the 11th hour, but it seems like he's pretty locked in to North Dakota State. You've gotten the chance to talk to him as well. How did he put those concerns to bed that he is coming to Fargo, no doubt about it?
Yeah, phenomenal segue there, Keith, and to the point that we did speak to Cole this morning, and, you know, he flat out told us that both Iowa State and Nebraska wanted him, and he's good, and I can understand that. You certainly, the last three quarterbacks at North Dakota State have been drafted, and two of them are going to go in the first round with Carson going number two, and Trey almost certainly going to be another first-round pick, and I would argue, because I don't really count the three Oklahoma kids that were transfers, I mean, I would argue that there isn't a better pro factory in college football for quarterbacks than North Dakota State. I wouldn't, if I was a phenomenal quarterback, I'd go to North Dakota State over Nebraska too. But what a just incredible statement about where North Dakota State football is as opposed to the last 10 years. There is no version of reality that I could have thought of 10 years ago where an Omaha quarterback tells the head coach at Nebraska that he won't even take his phone call because he's going to go to North Dakota State. Like, it's just wild. And folks, I want you to know, like, this kid is that dude. He is a left-handed – I'm going to get really hyperbolic here, but that's kind of my job. I'm supposed to juice these kids up a little bit. I mean, this kid is frankly a left-handed Easton Stick, except he's 2 inches taller. I mean, that's the type of tools that I see in this kid, specifically running the football. But he's got a hose, man. I mean, that thing can go. If they can develop him as a passer a little bit, there is nothing that he can't do in this North Dakota State offense. I think that the interest from Iowa State and Nebraska was warranted. I'll be surprised if this kid probably doesn't have a better career than the quarterbacks from their recruiting class. And honestly, he might be the dude after Zim. I'm that high on this kid. He is a stud.
We're certainly looking forward to seeing him up here. And, Ross, we'll have you on in a couple of weeks to break down the whole of the 2021 recruiting class. Like you said, a smaller class, but seems like a lot of impactful guys with bright futures. Thanks so much for giving us some time, and stay safe. We'll talk again soon.
All right. See you, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Folks, Bison Report Radio is brought to you today by Rise Fitness and Training. In Moorhead, Rise Training and Fitness, of course, co-owned and operated by North Dakota State football legend Chase Moorlock and his buddy and mine, Aaron Lean, former Minnesota State University Moorhead basketball star. These two Moorhead natives are doing just an excellent job. And right now, with the COVID regulations in Minnesota, are unable to be opening, but they are doing such a great job on their app with at-home workouts. Right now is kind of a cost-effective time to get in with them. Contact Chase or Aaron. Check out Rise Fitness on social. Check them out on their website, because what they're doing with in-home workouts, guys, is just phenomenal for both athletes and for adults trying to get into a little bit better shape without having to leave your house in a time where it's kind of difficult to do so. So we want to thank Chase and Aaron for presenting the show to you guys. Folks, that's all we got. As I mentioned, we're probably coming back later on in the week, so we appreciate you guys listening as always. Then go Bison.